Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground. I'm your host, Valerie. We're back on the playground as we roll into 2026. Thank you so much, BBS, for being on the playground with us. Let's take a break, a little bit of a break from the Christmas rush, to sit down together and share some time together. And I'm so glad you're here, everyone. There is an old saying that goes, it's better to give than receive. And I imagine you have been giving all you have this season for family and friends and in the workplace and children, and you've probably been pulling all-nighters to finish your school semester or pulling extra shifts to make a little overtime for the holidays. Or maybe you're alone in a new place this year, or part of your family is not with you, or maybe you don't have family with you and it feels so strange. You know, whatever your exhaustion might be, friends, it's a fair bet that you've been giving and maybe giving a lot. And receiving maybe is not so easy a feeling. And I wonder if we can talk a little bit about that this afternoon. The idea that we might be losing ourselves in the doing of life and what must be done one moment to the next, when we could use a little more focus on maybe being, rather. And we might be losing ourselves in the giving in life and not so much the receiving. And then there might be those of us who work hard to build a future that feels so far away sometimes that we doubt we'll get there. I wonder if we could talk about these things together. And maybe a different way of waking up in the morning and a different way of balancing our energies throughout our busy days. You know, my very favorite Christmas carol is The Little Drummer Boy. Since I was a little girl, I cried every single Christmas watching this little show on television when it came on. And my family would sit down and my grandfather would sit down with us and we would watch this lovely little show. And I cried every single time and I never knew why. And so I sat down this year and I tried to figure out, you know, the why of it and my emotions. And I want to share a little bit about what I always understood about the story that I love so much, The Little Drummer Boy. It's a story of a little boy who is a long, long way from home, who is alienated from the society around him. And he's sort of tossed around by different groups of folks and trying to find community and communion. And he's misunderstood and underestimated, maybe, and definitely disrespected. And he just didn't fit in. And he didn't really measure up to social expectation, I guess. And the interesting thing about the little drummer boy was he tried so very hard time after time. He tried to fit in. He tried to blend in, right? And the harder he tried, the worse things seemed to get for the little drummer boy. least that's what I remember. And I always wondered how, with everything going on in the story, all the running and the hiding and the traveling and all the terrible things he had to do to survive to get from one place to another, I always wondered why the little drummer boy never lost his drum in all of the chaos. He never lost his drum. And I wondered how he managed to be in the right place at the right time, just in time to play his drum for a baby Jesus lying in a manger. And that story is so beautifully metaphorical when you think about it. And I think it shares with us a beautiful way to consider how we live our lives. And there's something of a fun fact I want to share with you. And at least it's true in our family. Did you know that many indigenous cultures around the world choose their drummers as a matter of family lineage, right? And it moves as a sacred process through the family lineage, one generation to the next. And it's a matter of commitment and an ability to be responsible to a community. And these are ways that one is chosen to be a drummer in an indigenous culture. And of course, there are many other aspects, depending on the cultures that you're talking about. And that idea is maybe the most profound part of the metaphor in the Little Drummer Boy story for me. That a young boy had been chosen to play a sacred instrument. And this young boy was so committed that he carried his drum and he never lost it. He never lost it by virtue of his lineage, whoever he was. And we don't know who he was in this story. But by virtue of his lineage and his commitment and his love for his family and his community. And the idea gives a little more meaning, maybe, to the plot that he carried this drum and never parted with it. Is it possible that he held on tight to this drum as a matter of a sacred understanding of his gifts and his commitments to honor those gifts? His life was full of hardship. But he held on to that little drum. His life experienced so much loss, but still he held on. His life was so often uncertain, but he held on and he held on and he played. And he never stopped playing. In the hard times and his loss, he played. He showed up. He honored his gift. And friends, why would he do that? Why would he keep playing through a life that was so hard? And even when he was determined to rid himself of everything he thought was meaningful and rid himself of a drum, it returned to him. And we watch the story unfold on TV in an old show that used to come on every Christmas, and we see the moment when this young boy stopped fighting a cruel world and he turned his attention to a child just like him. And he did what was automatic to do, it was bred into him to do it. And he did what was his highest good and most committed, faithful act. And he strapped on his drum and he played it. And why? Why did he do that? Why did he stand there and forget all of his own pain and play that drum so magnificently? Why did he do that? And of all the things brought to the little child in the manger, all of the gifts and the adornments, why would the little drummer boy stand there and beat on a drum? But we know why, don't we, friends? When we're standing at a place in life, in fear or anger or pain or sadness or failure or loss, we can choose which way to go, can't we? We can choose. We can choose to walk away, to give up, or we can choose to play. And the little drummer boy chose to play. And when he had nothing else, nothing left, he chose to stand up and show up and play. And he didn't play any old way. He stood there and he played his very best. Why would he do that? Why would a human being who had been so thoroughly extradited out of civil society with so much pain, why would he choose to play so beautifully to a stranger? And personally, I think it's for one beautiful reason. One reason he played. And I think the little drummer boy played his drum for a baby in a manger because he believed that Christ was just like him. Just like him. They were the same. They were kindred spirits, and he could feel it. The little drummer boy didn't see a savior or a messiah or a god. He saw a brother, same as him. He saw the lineage of humanity that taught him to celebrate sacred things. And their brotherhood must have felt sacred to him. And so he did what he was taught to do, to reveal the sacred with his drum. And you know what, friends? We are all drummer boys. All of us. All of us are. We are imbued with sacred gifts to be revealed. We are here, each of us, for a reason. And there's a purpose in our breathing and in our life. And we are all called to our own kind of sacred duties, our talent, our gift. And so, have you thought about it lately? What are we choosing to do with what is sacred within us? What is unique within us? What stirs us? What stirs our soul? And how many of us have lost our drum amidst the chaos of life and living? And we didn't mean to, but life is difficult and there's so much to juggle, and we had to set a few things down, didn't we? And maybe we had to leave a few things behind, and maybe a few things were taken away. And was something you left behind, friends, maybe your drum? And what we know from the story is that the only time the little drummer boy found peace was at the manger as he drummed. And why is that so? I think it was so because his gift was his peace, friends. His gift was his peace, and the sound of his peace was that beating drum. And your gift is your peace. Do we know that? Our gifts are our peace, not just the thing we like to do, maybe when we have time or on the weekend or the thing we do when we get around to it. It's the thing we do to create the sacred peace in our body, the flow of energy in our body. And it brings us into the flow of Christ energies. And it brings us close to God, friends. It hearkens us to remember our human lineage, our brotherhoods of man, so to speak, and to show up in a chaotic world with the drum that is our talent, our gift, our passion, our joy. And it brings us together as brothers and sisters of a shared humanity. It is the center point of our evolution. I've decided as much, right? The sacred things we can offer this world, gifts from our hearts. And I wonder if we might find ways to wake up in the morning with an eye on our gifts, with a greater anticipation for how to develop them and use them and share them. Can we see that maybe there's nothing more important? And yes, we have responsibilities and expectations and difficulties for sure. And it will always be a matter of choice. Those things will rarely ever go away, friends. And I guess the choice is ours of how to prioritize maybe the sacred gifts we have. And I guess maybe a question might be, why does it even matter that I honor my unique abilities? Well, maybe it does for a reason that we may not have considered. Our sacred abilities, they may not be for our own benefit, friends. They may not even be meant for us. And maybe they're meant for the benefit of others. And maybe each of us is endowed by our Creator in the service of others to offer our gifts to a collective humanity. And how is that so? Well, you want to know where God is, friends? And I think we probably know. But God is 100 pairs of hands helping a community run a food bank in a large urban area. That's where God is, friends. God is 100 different gifts working through those hands each and every time we choose to act in our sacred capacity to serve others with our unique talents. We are hands added to other hands. 100 pairs of hands coming together. That's a lot of God, friends. That is the sacred physical essence of God at work in our world, through us, as us. And that's a lot of sacred talent, a lot of sacred service. Why do you think we spend so much time trying to pull source energy into our bodies, right? We talk about it all the time. Talk about filling ourselves with light, with what we call the Holy Spirit. We talked about it last week. Why do we do that? I mean, why is it so important? Have we thought about it? Are we holding the source energies of our Creator inside us, friends? Are we creating energy highways for the comings and goings of our source Creator? Inside us and through us and around us and between us, activated by our sacred gifts. And maybe Source works through us as we choose our sacred work. Can we understand that maybe that's a beautiful way to pull us closer to God? We are inspired as co-creators this way. And Source works through us and teaches through us and heals through us as us, friends. And do we see why a better world has maybe less to do with making a living and making ends meet, and more to do with finding our passions and our gifts and focusing on how we choose to get out of bed every morning, of choosing what will activate us with source energy and what will serve our inspirations, these passions and inspirations that change our world as God moves through us and works with us and serves others by us. And I guess a question might be, where is our focus? You know, what captures our attentions? And maybe what distracts us, and what might divert our attentions? What might undermine our growth and commitment to our own unique drumbeat? You know, are we playing to the beat of our own unique drum? And I'm wondering if we can start 2026 with something of a new outlook, you know, a new understanding of the priorities of our place and the service of humanity and how we might intend a better world and our part in it. And there's a part that only each of us can play, friends. That's why we're here. There's no replicating who you are as a spirit. I mean, we've all heard of many, many different ways to do lots of other things, physically and energetically, but there's only one you with the frequency who is chosen to be here in the service of humanity, to do what only you can do, friends. And we are in a physicality that must rely on our hands and bodies to build a better world. And in so doing, I suppose we invite co-creation in with our source in the most beautiful ways that we choose to create a world that is inspired to receive source. And we're inspired into creativity and service and networking with others toward change when we aspire to our higher selves as gifts and talents. And how can we remember to be inspired every day to include our talents into our day's work, especially when things get fairly heavy, right? I mean, how can we take baby steps, a little at a time, toward integrating our passions into our everyday routines and allowing them to grow? And I might have a place to start, and it might feel like a good time to play a little bit if you want to think about some of these ideas and something of a fun activity. Would you like to do that? Thinking about how to be mindful with our energies and what that could look like as we integrate into the activities of our day. I have just the thing to get us thinking about how to take more opportunity integrating our gifts into our time. And it's as easy as 1, 2, 3, actually. And the activity is actually called 1, 2, 3 time. And if you want to, we can spend some time together and take a look at some data that we collect about the way that we use our energy throughout our day. You want to? Well, if you want to, grab a piece of paper, anything to write with and anything to write on. Let's do a little recording of some information. This is an actual activity. This is an actual activity. It's called 1-2-3 time. You may have heard of it. It's a super fun way to get a look at your energy flow throughout your day. And it is it's about taking a look at ways that we might build in a little creative energy into the activities of our day, depending on who we are with, right? The activities that we do, depending on who we are with. And so all we need is something to write with and something to write on, paper and pen. That's all we need. Jot down a few pieces of information. Some of us like to write, to use our notebooks and write some things down on Sunday afternoons. And so you can pull those out if you have those handy. Let's take a look at how we're spending our energies throughout our average day, okay? And let's see what kind of time that we actually have for sacred co-creative energies to go into the good work that we do in our day. So, 1-2-3 time is a way to look at this way that we spend time in three different ways, okay? We're going to take a look at how we spend one time, and that is alone time. So, one time is alone time, okay? How are we spending alone time in our day? The second way that we're going to take a look at our time is two time. And two time is how we are spending time with another person, whoever it might be, and it could be different people throughout our day. How are we spending time with another person? What does our energies look like during those times? And then there is three time, okay? Three time. How are we spending three time with a group of people, three or more? Okay, those activities that we do throughout our day that involve a group of people, three or more people in a group of the activities that we do. So there's one time, alone time, right? There's two time with another person. And then there's three time with groups of people. How are we spending our energies in these activities? What does our energy flow look like? So remember, we're talking about our energy here, and we're going to map our energy flow, okay? So here are our instructions. On a piece of paper, draw three columns down the page, okay? You're just going to make room for three columns. So you'll have lines on each side of three columns, okay? And we will use three columns to record our activities. Got it? All right. The first column we will entitle one time, okay? And that is our alone time activities, okay? Middle column, let's entitle it two time, okay? Which we spend with one other person. Got it? The third column is what we call three time. And these are our group activities that we participate in our day. Got it? Three columns, one time, two time, and three time. And then we are going to jot some information down in each column. Okay, is everybody all right? We don't want to leave anybody behind. Three columns, one time, two time, and three time. Got it? Okay, let's jot some information down. Let's take a look at column one, okay? Column one, and that is one time, and this is how are we spending time alone each day? Okay, what does our energy look like or feel like during our alone time? So let's take a look. Our instructions are, okay, for column one, our alone time, list three ways that you experience alone time or one time in your average day. Okay, three ways that you spend alone time in your day. And jot each one of those down. Leave some space in between each of those descriptions, okay? We're going to add some more information. Okay, so in your alone time, jot down three ways that you spend alone time every day. And it could be anything as simple as brushing your teeth, right? It could be however those meaningful times are for you, that alone time, that one time. How are you spending it? Jot three ways that you are spending your one time each day, right? On average, your average day. Got it? Do we have those three things listed? Okay. Now, got it? This is what we're going to do now. Try to be as specific as you can, okay? For each activity on your list in column one, for your alone time, choose one really, really, really good word. I mean, one really good word to describe the kind of energy being used during each of those activities. What is the kind of energy being used? Describe the feeling of the energy, right? Describe the feeling of the energy that's flowing as you are doing each of those activities in your alone time. Got it? Does everybody understand? Describe the energy flowing during each of those times and try to use at least one really, really specific word or a phrase to describe what the energy feels like in each of those alone times. Got it? We'll take just a minute to get a really perfect word down there for each of those alone times. Okay? So what we have on the paper right now is three columns, one time, two time, three time, right? And we're working in the first column, the one time column, and we're looking at three ways that we spend alone time during the day. And then we're going to choose one word for each of those activities to describe the flow of energy that we are experiencing in each of those activities in column one. All right, everybody got it? Okay, let's move to column two. Okay, let's move to column two. So far, we've listed three activities in our day, right, that we do alone. Now we are going to list three activities in column two that we do with one other person. One other person, and it could be different people, right, throughout our day, but we are going to list the activities, three activities that we do in our average day, that includes one other person. One other person, okay? Let me give you an example. Maybe you drive your child to school in the mornings, right? Maybe you drive your child to school in the mornings. And that would be an example of two time, right? Which means you and one other person. Write down three activities that you do with one other person throughout your average day. Okay, everybody understand? Three activities, and they can be with different people throughout your day. Got it? Three activities. They can be short period periods of time. Maybe you just say hello to your neighbor as you're walking out to your car every morning. Three activities with you and one other person. Okay, one other person. Now, sometimes these activities may not feel so pleasant. Maybe they are duties that you perform, and that's okay. We're not looking for pristine, perfect activities. We're just trying to track the actual energies in your day. So there may be some activities that you do that the energy may not feel the same as other activities, and that's okay. We're just trying to look at, observe just an honest flow of our energies. So don't think that everything has to be a perfect energy flow of what we consider just the very best kinds of energy. Let's just reflect what's in our day, and that'll be very, very helpful for us. Okay, do we have our three activities listed for ourselves and one other person? Now we're going to choose a perfect word for each one of those activities to describe the energy flow of each of those activities, just like we did in column one. So, what is a perfect word or phrase to describe the experience of the energy during each of those activities? And just choose your word or your phrase to describe the way the energy feels during each of those activities. Okay? We're just observing our day. Some activities may be more difficult than others, and that's okay. It's just a really honest picture of what we're experiencing, and it'll be very helpful for us to take a look at that. Okay, do we have our words? Let's move to our third column, right? And we're trying to capture the energies flowing around each of these activities, right? So let's do the same for column three. Remember, column three is three time, right? Which means now you are in a group of people with yourself and at least two others. So you are in at least a group of three. This is your three time activities, right? Your group activities. Take a moment and jot down three group activities that you do throughout your day on an average day. Jot those activities down in column three. Okay? Jot those activities down in column three. And what you might do in groups or teams, right? Throughout your day. Got it? And we will finish up that column three in our three activities, right? Does everybody have it in an average day? Okay, now let's choose a good specific word to describe the flow of energy and the feeling of the energy for each one of those activities. How does the energy feel as you are in each of those activities? And let's jot down those words for each activity in column three. Okay, and as we finish column three, we will have a pretty good idea of how to assess the energy flow of our day and how it flows given the people we're with, right? And the activities that we perform. Okay, does everybody have your activity completed, your three columns? This is a lot of really good data to reflect on, especially with respect to the way energy is flowing throughout our day. Okay, do we have it? Okay, it's a lot of great information. Hopefully, we will see some patterns, right? And we will see some patterns as we go into sort of looking and assessing what it is we've written and taking a look at the way that our energy flows. Okay, so let's ask some questions now. We have our data. Let's ask some questions and see if we can find some patterns. So the first thing we want to look at is, when is our energy the most positive? Okay, what activities in our day are creating the most positive energy? So let's take a look at our columns and see if we can find activities in our day that creates the most positive kind of energetics. Are there things that we can see there in our average day's worth of activities? What is there that gives us the most positive energy? And let's note that. See if we can find a pattern. Okay, so that's the first thing we'll look at. Where is the most positive energy? Got it? Now, let's take a look at when the energy is the most creative. Okay, take a look at your data. When are we experiencing the most creative energy in our day? Right? And it might be during a few activities, and we're just observing to see if we can find a pattern. When are we really creative, energetically creative during our day? Right? Do we see that in our data? Okay, so we've looked at where our energy is most positive. Okay, we've looked at where our energy is most creative. And now let's take a look at when our energy is least productive. Let's take a look at when our energy is least productive. And we're going to do this for the sake of time, okay? For the sake of time, we're going to go the other way here and look at when our energy is least productive in our day. What activities are we doing? Who might we be with? And let me clarify what I mean by productive, okay? In this case, productive means, when is our energy getting a result that is less than satisfying? Okay, when are we getting a result in our experience that is less than satisfying? It's not as productive as we would want in the results of our activity. Okay, let's take a look at that and see if there might be any patterns there. So we've looked at the most positive energy, we've looked at the most creative energy, and we've looked at times when the energy is least productive in our activities during the day. And hopefully that's set up some sort of patterns for us to think about and reflect on. Because we know that expressing our gifts and our talents are most effective when we can create positive, creative, and productive energy flow, right? That's really when our gifts and talents can come into their own. And so do we see times in our day when that's happening? Are we able to find those times in our day when we see positive, creative, productive energy flow? And that might be worth noting in our data, right? So if so, are we capitalizing on that energy to really grow in our talents and our passion, right? Are we capitalizing on that energy to really help us grow in our talents and our gifts during those times? And if not, how might we reconsider our time to increase creative energy activities during our day? If we're not really seeing times where we're seeing positive, creative, productive energy flow, how might we reinvest in activities during our day in order to get us into that kind of flow, right? Are there things we can address that might help us to better optimize that opportunity, right? It might be worth taking a look there in our data. We can all benefit by tools that let us reflect on how our energy is moving with us through our day and the activities that we are participating in and the folks that we are working with. And we know that knowledge is power, right? And so the question is, how can we use the information to sort of change up our activity choices and improve our energies and the energies we prefer to have in our environment, right? And so just a little food for thought there. And so I want to thank you so much for hanging out and doing what I think is a really fun activity. It's a shortened version, but it gave us a sense of the way that we can look at information and really make some decisions about where we want to be with optimizing the energy in our day. And so I'm so grateful that you participated with me, and I hope it was helpful and informative for you. I know that it sure is for me. And so remember, we are co-creators, right? With our source energy. We are co-creators with this beautiful source that is within us and around us and moves through us and between us, right? Source that is with us as us. And that's sacred work when we can generate the kind of energy that's really optimal for using our unique gifts, right? And it's a very beautiful experience when we can do that. And so maybe some things we might want to consider when we'd like to turn negative energy environments into more positive energy environments, right? There are a few things that we can take a look at. The first thing is, are there negative thoughts or words or actions that we actually are adding to the environment or creating within us that might be affecting the energy flow that we ourselves can work to maybe extinguish within our behaviors or minimize during the day, right? And so that might be something to look at. Is there something I'm approaching in a way that I'm thinking or words I'm using? Or also, can I choose differently how I might engage a particular group activity that I'm in, right? For example, if there's a group who, let's use the universal kind of example, a group who really, really likes to spend time gossiping, is there a way to extinguish that or minimize that kind of negative effect on the energy flow of what you're doing? Sometimes there is, and sometimes there may not be, and we might have to consider alternatives to that, right? And so a second thing we might want to think about is, how much of the negative energy am I feeding, right? How much am I feeding? Can I change the dynamic by the way I change my own energy? Is there an attitude change that I can make as I'm participating in a particular activity, right? Am I self-monitoring, in other words, in the way that I'm participating in the energy and the way that I'm helping to create the energy flow in a particular activity or environment? And the third thing is something that we really don't think about, but it really plays a fairly big role and we don't even realize it. But the question is, are there things in our environments that are draining good energy, right? And we don't think about that, but we really go about our day really trying not to think about things in the background and things in the environment when they play a really big part. Let me give you an example, like a television being on in the background, right? or noise coming from the office when we're trying to have a meeting. Or I'll tell you a really big one, traffic. Are we sitting in a place where we can hear maybe through the window or somewhere outside, we're hearing the traffic and it's really wreaking havoc environmentally on what we're doing as far as our energy. And let me tell you why this is a tricky one, because our subconscious minds are constantly scanning the environment. And our ability to focus is almost always affected by things in the environment, and we're not even conscious of it, right? So that's why it's so important. It's such a subconscious distraction on the energy that we're trying to create that it takes a little bit of mindfulness about looking at the actual environment that we're working in. So those are just a few things to think about as we're cleaning up our energies, right, during our 1, 2, 3 time activity. And as we go about our day, thinking about how we can optimize our energy flow, clean it up, and create positive energetics in the things that we do and the folks that we work with, right? Lets us realign with positive energy, right? We can have more of that co-creative kind of vibe and use source inspiration in an optimal way, which is such a beautiful thing when we think about it. So maybe let's just take just a second and talk about this idea of inspiration, right? It is considered a mental process, right? Inspiration. It's something that does occur in the brain, but it has an element to it that extends what inspiration is, right? And what is happening at the moment a person is inspired. Inspiration is generally sparked subconsciously, not necessarily by any effort to create an inspired thought, but by things that are going on that get the subconscious attention of our brains. However, inspiration arises through a state of awareness, okay? In other words, inspiration is triggered by an external stimulus, and in a moment of what's called clarity or conscious awareness, it becomes an inspired idea. So there's something of a transcendence that takes place as an inspired idea is brought into consciousness, right? And we all kind of maybe call it an aha moment when all of that is coming into the process of inspiration. And it means then that we have the opportunity to actualize an idea, right, into an expression. And there's a lot of energy associated with this process of inspiration, lots and lots of energy associated with it. The interesting thing about inspiration is the fact that it is the key to optimal use of our talents and our natural gifts. Inspiration is the catalyst for using our talents and our gifts. It's a driver or a motivator, really, for putting our unique abilities to use. Inspiration, there's a direct connection there. So let's think about it. What are some ways to increase the flow of inspiration? Have you ever thought about it? Well, interestingly enough, changing out our old routines is a super powerful way to increase inspired thought. Changing out old routines, decluttering our space. It's a game changer for inspiration. Decluttering stuff, it's a game changer. Learning new things, right? And play. Play always inspires. Play is a very inspirational kind of a process. Very inspirational, as we know. Letting our mind wander, right, produces inspiration. And so we can think about how many of these things might fit into, I don't know, a good New Year's resolution, right? Some ways for us to move into new ways of thinking and building our inspiration and using our gifts and talents in 2026. So, as we move into a new year, there are a few things we can do, right, to improve our capacity to manage our energies. And one of those things is, we can choose to be with our bodies more, right? The whole idea is to pull energy into this body, to recognize this beautiful process of a quantum mechanics as it engages spirit, right? And so being with our bodies more, paying attention to our bodies more, breathing more consciously, learning new things about naturopathic ways to care for our bodies. All of these things are wonderful ways to pull in a spirit that is healthy and happy, so to speak, right? And we need a real synergy there between mind, body, and spirit. And paying attention to our physical self is a very important way to do that. And, we can find inspiration, like we talked about. We can be inspired to take more risks with our passions and reach out toward growth opportunities, right? Take some time to learn some new things. Perspective grows as we expand our learning, and we know that. And another thing we could do is we can decide it's healthy to put some focus on ourselves this coming year. Right? Self-care, it's a necessary thing for a balanced mind, body, and spirit. And remember, self-care is what we call aligning the energies of the body. That's really what's going on with the physical body. We call it self-care. And one of the signs that energy is not balanced in the body really is a lack of inspiration, a lack of inspired thought, right? Creative blocks. So if we're having a tough time being creative, it might be worth some effort to realign, the body's energy, realign that flow of energy in the body. And so, friends, it's time for me to go home. I will end with a heartfelt Happy New Year to every single one of you. And I hope that you end this year and pass into a new year in a very beautiful, beautiful way. I know it's sort of a fiction that we create, but I just want to wish you the most beautiful fiction that you'd like to have for a beautiful new year. And Happy New Year to you as well and your families, BBS. Thank you so, so much for a wonderful year of your assistance and your support. I'm so very, very grateful. And to each and every one of you listening, I love you so much and I am so grateful. And you have my heart. And so, friends, until next time.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.